Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, 19 November 2025, 3rd John.
All right, before we get started, if there's any of you that were looking forward to signing the card for Jim Wheeler, his dog Magnum is now singing in heaven. And Magnum may not have had the best voice in Upland Bible Church, but he had the loudest voice in Upland Bible Church. He sang with greater projection than all of you put together. Some of you are wusses when you sing. I don't know. I think this is, I watch some of you, your lips are moving, but nothing's coming out, you know. Well, that wasn't Magnum, boy. He sang from his toes. But if you haven't had a chance to sign that card, it is out in the hallway. We're going to give it to Jim this Sunday. All right? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God this evening to 3 John. And 3 John, we have two diametrically opposed kind of believers. We have the great winner, Gaius, in verses 1 through 8. And we have, unfortunately, the great loser, Diotrephes, verses 9 through 11. We are now looking at Diotrephes, verses 9 through 11. In preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you for the privilege we have this evening of fellowshipping with you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. In 3 John verse 9, it says, I have written something, doctrinal letters, actually 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, all made it to the local church where Gaius was, and Diotrephes, who's the head of the deacon board. I have written something, doctrinal letters, to the church, but Diotrephes, the one who loves to be first in authority among them, the congregation, does not accept our authority, and therefore he will not allow these doctrinal letters to be taught in the church. Now, Diotrephes has manifested three very serious spiritual failures. Spiritual failure number one, he had no humility, and we studied that in detail. Spiritual failure number two, he had no authority orientation, and we studied that in detail. Spiritual failure number three, he had maximum arrogance, and we're just got started looking at spiritual failure number 3, the doctrine of arrogance. We've studied so far point number 1. Point number 1 was introduction, and we noted by way of introduction that God has a plan for every one of your lives. God is absolutely perfect, and therefore God's plan for your life is the perfect plan. God has provided through His grace policy the means of executing His plan and will and purpose for your life during the church age. And that plan is for you to live the unique spiritual life by the grace and the power of God. Contradictions cannot exist in the perfect plan of God. And therefore, anything that contradicts the plan of God hinders the believer from utilizing the grace and power of God, and thereby hinders him from glorifying God. And that's why we're here. In the short time while we're here, after your salvation, what is God's plan for your life? After salvation, what? We are here to glorify God. That's why we're here. Now, arrogance is a major contradiction to the plan of God. Arrogance is the primary reason for the believer's failure to execute God's plan for their life. Arrogance is the basic mental attitude sin. Satan is actually the first creature guilty of arrogance. Satan's motivation of arrogance is found in one line of Isaiah 14, verse 14, where he said, I will make myself like the Most High God. That's as arrogant as you can be. The original sin of arrogance by Satan is amplified in Ezekiel 28, verses 14 to 17, and we studied that. Arrogance is a lofty self-respect totally apart from reality. It is high esteem of oneself from some imagined or real superiority. And that perfectly describes Diotrephes. Arrogance is the antithesis of grace and the total blindness to the grace of God. Arrogance is synonymous with vanity, which is empty pride. Empty pride in regard to one's person, one's attainments, or possessions. Arrogance is an excessive desire to be noticed, a lust for attention, a lust for approval, or praise from others. Arrogance is the pomposity of vain glory. It is haughty contempt of others. Arrogance is a complex of sins like jealousy, bitterness, vindictiveness, revenge motivation, self-pity, conceit, inordinate ambition and competition, and sins of the tongue such as slander, gossip, maligning, and judging. Arrogance is a mental attitude sin which overflows into the motivation and decision-making of the individual. Arrogance includes at least 4 different concepts. First of all, egotism, and this is an excessive preoccupation with self. Second is vanity. This is self-admiration and an excessive desire to be admired by others. Third is pride. This is lofty, arrogant assumption of superiority. And fourth, there is conceit. And this is exaggerated estimate of one's abilities and attainments. And there's a principle we ended with last time, and I think it's worth giving again. You want to have this one down. Arrogance is the only disease known to mankind which makes everyone sick except the one who has it. You want to get that one down. Arrogance is the only disease known to mankind which makes everyone sick except the one who has it. And this perfectly characterizes Diotrephes. That's all point one under introduction. Point two is the biblical documentation with regard to the sins of arrogance. Biblical documentation with regard to the sins of arrogance. All right. Well, we start out Proverbs 11, verse 2. Proverbs 11, verse 2 says, when arrogance comes, then comes dishonor. Proverbs 16, 18. Arrogance precedes destruction. Destruction is divine discipline from God. Warning discipline, if you don't learn from that. Intensive discipline, if you don't learn from that. Dying discipline, ultimately the sin unto death. That's the destruction. Arrogance precedes destruction. And before a fall, there is a lifestyle of arrogance. Proverbs 16, 18. Proverbs 29, 23. A person's arrogance will bring him low. But a lifestyle of humility will attain honor. Romans 12, verse 3. For I say, through the grace which has been given to me, to everyone who is among you, stop thinking of self in terms of arrogance, beyond what you ought to think. But think in terms of sanity for the purpose of being rational without illusion, as God has designed to each one of us a standard of thinking from doctrine. Arrogance is defined also in terms of the sins of jealousy in James chapter 3, verses 14 to 16, which says, but if you have bitter jealousy and inordinate ambition in your heart, stop being arrogant and stop lying against the truth. And the word there is aletheia, the absolute truth of the Word of God. This pseudo-wisdom is not that which comes from above, but it is earthly, natural, and demonic. For where jealousy and inordinate ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil deed. And then Proverbs 13, verse 10. Through arrogance comes strife, but wisdom is with those who receive instruction. Now, one of the problems when you are arrogant, you don't receive instruction. You think you know more than God does. You think you know more than the pastor does. Diotrephes thought he knew more than the Apostle John did. He thought he knew more than any sound doctrinal teacher did. And that's why he would never allow that to be taught. And he was destroying the local church When you don't allow sound doctrinal teaching to be taught, you're destroying that local church. And if you're an individual in that church, and you do not receive sound doctrinal teaching, why, you will never grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. So through arrogance comes strife, but wisdom is with those who receive instruction. If you're arrogant, you won't receive instruction. You'll say no to it. You'll reject it. Negative volition. 1 Peter 5:5. Likewise, you younger men, be subordinate to the authority of the pastor. And all of you, clothe yourself with humility toward one another. Humility, respect for the authority of God, respect for the authority of the Word of God, respect for the authority of the pastor who teaches the Word of God. For God goes to war against the arrogant. And that's, when God goes to war against the arrogant, if you're arrogant, you're not going to win that war. You're on the losing side. God goes to war against the arrogant, but He gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourself under the powerful hand of God, that He might promote you at the proper time. So, a couple of things on that. One, if God doesn't promote you, then you are not promoted. The only promotion that is true promotion is that by God. And if God doesn't promote you, then you are not promoted. Two, God promotes men of doctrine. He promotes men of doctrine. He promotes those believers who find a sound Bible teaching church and consistently and faithfully assemble and take in the Word of God. Learn it, believe it, metabolize it, so it gets into your heart. And then you can apply it skillfully and accurately to your life and situations. God promotes men of doctrine. Three, God promotes the humble, grace-oriented believers, not the arrogant. God promotes the humble, grace-oriented believers. Four, promotion is the result of enforced humility under the spiritual authority of the pastor-teacher, developing genuine humility and maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart. Promotion is the result of enforced humility under the spiritual authority of the pastor-teacher, developing genuine humility and maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart. Five, promotion is a matter of living the spiritual life by the grace and power of God. Promotion is a matter of living the spiritual life by the grace and power of God. And promoted believers, well, we need promoted believers in America today. Promoted believers are the invisible heroes of the client nation to God in the church age. We are, United States of America, we are currently the client nation to God. How much longer we will be, I don't know. We're trending the wrong way. But promoted believers, those in the pivot of spiritual maturity, They are the invisible heroes in the client nation to God in the church age. And that's what we need in America today. 2 Timothy 3, 2 through 5. 2 Timothy 3, 2 through 5 says, "For believers will be lovers of self." Well, there's a good definition of arrogance. Believers will be lovers of self. Lovers of money. Well, we're certainly in that stage in America today. Boastful, arrogant, slanderers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, wicked, without virtue love, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of God, treacherous, thoughtless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but having denied its power. In fact, avoid such persons as these. Occupation with Christ is the ultimate problem-solving device regarding arrogance. Occupation with Christ is the ultimate problem-solving device regarding arrogance. Proverbs 8, verse 13. Fear the Lord. That's occupation with Christ. To fear the Lord, occupation with Christ, is to hate evil, to hate pride and arrogance and the evil way and a perverted mouth. Sins of the tongue. So point three. Nations can become arrogant and come under the five cycles of national discipline. Nations can become arrogant and come under the five cycles of national discipline. And we are an arrogant, arrogant nation. Leviticus 26, verse 19. "And I will break down the arrogance of your power, and I will make your sky like iron, and your land like bronze." And this is the five cycles of national discipline. And what is God doing? I'll break down your arrogance as a nation. Isaiah 9, 8 and 9. "The Lord sends a message against Jacob, and it falls on Israel, and all the people know it. That is Ephraim and the inhabitants of Samaria, who speak with pride and arrogance in their heart." Ezekiel 7:10. "Behold, the day is coming. Your doom has gone forth. The rod of discipline has budded because arrogance has blossomed in the land." So arrogance is nationally self-destructive. Arrogance is personally self-destructive. And arrogance can even produce mental illness. Point four. The rejection of Bible doctrine is always related to arrogance. The rejection of Bible doctrine is always related to arrogance. 1 Timothy 6, 3 and 4. If anyone teaches false doctrines and does not agree with sound doctrine, what are sound doctrines? Those doctrines of our Lord Jesus Christ, even doctrines pertaining to, well, in your translation, you probably have the word godliness. The word is elsebeia. E-U-S-E-B-E-I-A. Elsebeia. And elsebeia is the spiritual life, the unique spiritual life of the church age. This is God's plan for us, the perfect plan. So if anyone teaches false doctrine and does not agree with sound doctrine, those doctrines of our Lord Jesus Christ, even doctrines pertaining to elsebeia, the spiritual life, he has become arrogant, understanding nothing. Furthermore, he has morbid obsessions about controversies and verbal conflicts from which originate jealousy, discord, and evil speculation. 1 Timothy 6, 3 and 4. The rejection of Bible doctrine is always related to arrogance. So let's amplify that a little bit. One, arrogance is the corrupter of the soul. The corrupter of the soul. And the sign that you're living your life under the lust patterns of the sin nature. Arrogance is the corrupter of the soul, and the sign that you're living your life under the lust patterns of the sin nature, out of fellowship with God. Two, arrogance is the basic sin that motivates the rejection of Bible doctrine. The basic sin that motivates rejection of Bible doctrine. Three, arrogance distracts the believer from a sound doctrinal teaching church and from sound Bible teaching. Distracts the believer away. Arrogance distracts the believer away from sound doctrinal teaching in a sound doctrinal teaching church. Easily distracted. Four, arrogance divorces the believer from reality, both personal and historical. Arrogance divorces the believer from reality, both personal and historical. Five, arrogance destroys capacity for life, capacity for love, capacity for happiness. Arrogance destroys capacity for life, capacity for love, and capacity for happiness. All of this is under the rejection of Bible doctrine, is always related to arrogance. Point five, concluding principles. Point five, concluding principles. First of all, arrogance rejects spiritual authority. Arrogance rejects spiritual authority. Today, in the time this was written, there was the spiritual authority of the apostle, which was the highest spiritual authority, and spiritual authority of the pastor teacher, but that was under the spiritual authority of the apostle. Today, the highest spiritual authority is the pastor teacher. Arrogance rejects spiritual authority. Two, arrogance motivates emotional sins. Arrogance motivates emotional sins, such as fear, worry, anxiety, emotional sins such as anger and hatred, violence and murder. Emotional sins such as guilt and self-pity. I was watching a replay of a football game, Baylor and Utah, at the University of Baylor in Waco, Texas. And Utah was just beating the crap out of Baylor. But I'll tell you what, those players on Utah, Baylor, near the end of the game, receiver went down, made a fantastic catch for a touchdown, and the guy who was guarding him was so pissed off, he punched him in. Now, first of all, about the stupidest thing to do is punch somebody with a football helmet on. You're not going to hurt anybody punching them with a football helmet on. But he punched him because he caught the touchdown against him. Well, then another guy, it wasn't the guy who caught it, but another guy for Baylor saw him punch the guy that scored. He came up and punched the other guy back. And then they were really going to town. And I thought, that's about the stupidest thing. But this is where we are in this country today. We had a in Las Vegas, road rage. And road rage goes on all the time. You drive home, you see road rage. And a fellow in road rage pulled a gun out and shot at the car next to him, but he killed the 11-year-old riding in the car. That shows the degeneracy of our nation. There is absolutely no reason for that at all. Road rage is nothing but arrogance. You got cars driving 100 miles an hour or over that. Motorcyclists going 100 miles an hour or over that. Of course, don't worry, those motorcyclists will be either in heaven or hell real soon. But all of that is degeneracy. You see, all they're thinking about is that what they're doing is the only thing that matters, and doesn't make any difference if they're endangering the other people that are out there. It's the total arrogance of our nation. It just makes you sick to see it. Three, arrogance reproduces itself in jealousy, bitterness, vindictiveness, revenge. Jealousy, bitterness, vindictiveness, revenge. inordinate ambition and competition, and also in sins of the tongue, like gossip, malicious gossip, slandering, maligning, judging. And all of this, we're going to see this with Diotrephes. So as we study 3 John, it's just a little epistle. It's only got 14 verses. As we study it, there's so much here. Whose footsteps are you going to walk in? Are you going to walk in the footsteps of Gaius or in the footsteps of Diotrephes? That's what we have here. And Diotrephes, we got it coming up in verse 10. He not only has tremendous lack of no humility, no authority orientation, and extreme arrogance, but that extreme arrogance has led to judging, slandering, maligning the Apostle John and any sound doctrinal teacher. He maligns them and slanders them and puts them down because he has to stay in, he had to continue to be number one in the church. And the only way he could continue to be number one in the church was to judge, slander, malign the Apostle John and never allow his letters to be taught in the church. Because if they're taught, why, Diotrephes might no longer be number one. He's so arrogant. Four, arrogance parlayed into self-righteousness produces legalism. Arrogance parlayed into self-righteousness produces legalism. All right, so Diotrephes has manifested three very serious spiritual failures. Spiritual failure number one, he has no humility. Spiritual failure number two, he has no authority orientation. Spiritual failure number three, he has maximum arrogance. But you haven't seen anything yet. That's just verse 9, verse 10. Now in 3 John 10, wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deed which he doeth. There's your King James for you. This is dia plus the accusative singular neuter of the demonstrative pronoun houtos, plus the conditional particle aeon with the aorist middle subjunctive of erkomai, plus the future active indicative of hupomimnesco, plus the genitive singular of autos with the accusative plural of ergon, plus the accusative plural neuter of the relative pronoun hosts, and the present active indicative of poieo. Well, we start out with dia plus the accusative. And I've taught you this many, many times. Dia plus the accusative means you're allowed to talk. If you give the wrong answer, your seat will blow up, though. Dia plus the accusative. Now, dia plus the genitive is instrumentality by means of. Dia plus the accusative means because of, on account of. How many times have I taught that? You know that. You didn't want to show how smart you were. You didn't want to be a smart ass in the church. So because of, on account of, and then the demonstrative pronoun houtos. H-O-U-T-O-S, houtos. And houtos, as correctly translated, this. So literally this says, because of this, because of this, or on account of this. But this is an idiom that means for this reason, and therefore it should be correctly translated for this reason. And then we have aeon plus the subjunctive of erkomai. Aeon plus the subjunctive. E-A-N. Aeon plus the subjunctive introduces a third class condition. Maybe I will come, the Apostle John says, and maybe I won't come. That's the third class condition. Erkomai is the verb to come. So it says, for this reason, if I come, third class condition, maybe I will come, maybe I won't. So, one, first of all, the Apostle John is going to send Demetrius. He's going to send Demetrius to the church. And we're going to see Demetrius in verse 12. After we finish with Diotrephes, then in verse 12, the Apostle John's going to introduce Demetrius. And this is the Apostle John's pick to be the pastor of this local church. So first of all, the Apostle John is going to send Demetrius. Two, Demetrius is the Apostle John's recommendation to be the pastor of this local church. Demetrius is the Apostle John's recommendation to be the pastor of this local church. Three, under Diotrephes' leadership, and he's kind of taken over as number one guy in this church, the church is under tyranny. This church is under tyranny, the tyranny of Diotrephes. And here's the principle. It takes authority to rectify tyranny. Here, it takes spiritual authority to rectify tyranny. Spiritual authority in pastor-teacher Demetrius, or spiritual authority in the Apostle John. But first of all, John's going to send Demetrius, who has spiritual authority as a pastor-teacher, to straighten out and solve the problem of tyranny in this church. If that doesn't work, then John's going to come. That's the third class condition. So four, the ones with authority to straighten out this mess are first of all pastor teacher Demetrius, and then if that doesn't work out, then the Apostle John will have to come and straighten out the problem. So the ones with the spiritual authority to straighten out this mess are first of all pastor teacher Demetrius. We're going to see him in verse 12. And then if that doesn't work out, then the Apostle John will have to come and straighten out this mess. Utilize his spiritual authority. That's the third class condition. For this reason, if I come, third class condition, maybe I will come, maybe I won't. And then we have hupomimnesko. Hupomimnesko, H-U-P-O-M-I-M-N, long E-S-K, long O. Hupomimnesko. All right. Point one. Hupomimnesko is a compound verb made up of the preposition hupa. You saw that there, hupa. Hupa means under. In the idea of being under authority. And then mimnesko, which means to remind. Two. So literally, this means to remind someone that he is under authority. And here, to remind Diotrephes that he is under spiritual authority. To remind someone that he is under authority. Three, hupomimnesko means to remind someone of something, to call to mind, to bring up something. To remind someone of something, to call to mind, to bring up something. Four, if the Apostle John comes, and it's third class condition, maybe he will, maybe he won't, but if the Apostle John comes, he will hupomimnesko Diotrephes, and what will he hupomimnesko him of? Of his auton ta erga, that's what. Ooh. His auton ta erga. Ooh-hoo. A-U-T-O-N. T-O-E-R-G-A. Auton ta erga. And auton ta erga. Ergon is the word work or deed, deeds. Auton, his deeds. He will hupomimnesko Diotrephes of his deeds. And then the relative pronoun hos. H long O S, not long O, excuse me. H O S. And it's a relative pronoun. The relative pronoun always has an antecedent. The antecedent here is ergon, deeds. So hos means which. Which deed? The antecedent is ergon. So which deeds? And then the verb poieo. Which deeds? Diotrephes is poieoing. P-O-I-E long O. Poieo. And poieo is the verb to do, or to make, or to manufacture, or to produce. The present tense is a progressive present, which means Diotrephes is doing these things right as Apostle John speaks. He is doing these things again and again and again and again. The active voice, Diotrephes, is performing the action of the verb. He is the one doing these, and we're going to see, these evil deeds. He is the one doing these evil deeds. And the indicative mood is declarative. This is a dogmatic fact reality. For this reason, if I come, third class condition, maybe I will come, maybe I won't. I will call attention to his deeds which he is doing, to Diotrephes' deeds which he is doing. And we're going to find out. The Apostle John is going to declare dogmatically, the deeds he is doing is pure evil. Everything he is doing is evil, evil, evil. So for this reason, if I come, third class condition, maybe I will come, maybe I won't, maybe Demetrius will solve the problem. I will call attention to his deeds which he is doing. One, spiritual authority will solve this problem. Spiritual authority will solve this problem. Two, either the spiritual authority of Pastor Teacher Demetrius or the spiritual authority of the Apostle John. But spiritual authority will solve this problem. And this is a major, major problem. Diotrephes is destroying this local church. Destroying it. So spiritual authority will solve this problem. Either the spiritual authority of Pastor Teacher Demetrius or the spiritual authority of the Apostle John. Now, this is an important principle, especially with what's going on all over America. Now, you don't solve problems with violence. You don't solve problems with violence. Assassination attempt on Donald Trump. Assassination of Charlie Kirk. And we got the whole mentality of America. This is okay. And the liberals, they're so full of evil, they think it's totally okay for them to assassinate a conservative or a Christian or a Jew. Or the president, if he's a conservative. Anyone that wears a MAGA hat. It's okay to kill them. They're a part of the problem. Any pastor that teaches that homosexuality and lesbianism is a sin, he ought to be shot. We got all this that's okay to change, and now we got it in women's sports, men having an operation so they can compete in women's sports, and also so they can go into the women's locker room, into the showers with them, and all these things. That's evil. That's Sodom and Gomorrah. That's Sodom and Gomorrah. We have Sodom and Gomorrah in America right now. And all over, that it's okay for transgenders to compete in women's sports. They're men. They're not men. They're males. They're not men. They're males. That transgenderism, that's Sodom and Gomorrah. 100% evil. Wrong. And what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? Exactly the righteousness and justice of God. And we deserve the same thing. And that's accepted now in all, in education, all across America, in education, in schools. It's okay. And they don't even let them put down. You can't put down male or female. You got to have all these special words for I'm in it. You know, I don't know what that. You know, when I was going to school, that was never an issue. I never thought I'd see this day when now that is right. So I'm the enemy. I'm the enemy. So, well, let's take care of Pastor Olson. He teaches that homosexuality and lesbianism is a sin. Let's kill him. He's the problem. Let's knock him off. And now my son told the deacon, you better go, when dad and mom leave, better go out there with them in case there's people out there to try to shoot them or something like that. Don't worry. I'll go out there, and if they get close, I'll shit on them. That's what I'll do. That'll cause them to die right there. I'm not worried about any of those things. God has a perfect plan for me and for Deb, and we are totally looking forward to going to heaven. How we get there, God chose the best way possible. I'm looking forward to it. And when that happens, I'm not going to say, please send me back so I can go back to that apostate, degenerate nation. You won't see me doing that at all. I'll be very, very happy. You don't solve problems with violence. 4. You don't solve problems by taking the law into your own hands. Assassinating someone. You don't solve problems by taking the law into your own hands. By assassinating someone, murdering someone. 5. It does not take violence to rectify a situation. It does not take violence to rectify a situation. Six. When you use violence to rectify a situation, you intensify the problem. You intensify the problem. Seven, problems are solved by means of legitimate authority. Legitimate authority. Problems are solved by means of legitimate authority. The police officer. They're the enemy. The communists elected in New York. Gets rid of all of the police. Gonna have social workers. Police are legitimate authority. Eight, violence produces resentment rather than enforced humility. Violence produces resentment rather than enforced humility. Nine, therefore violence cannot and does not solve the problem. Violence cannot and does not solve the problem. 10. When an organization must resort to violence to carry out its purpose, then that organization is evil to the core. When an organization must resort to violence to carry out its purposes, then that organization is evil to the core. And the liberals and socialists and communists in this country are evil to the core. 11, and we'll stop here tonight. Only the proper use of authority can resolve the problem. Only the proper use of authority can resolve the problem. And that proper authority here is the spiritual authority of either Pastor Teacher Demetrius or the Apostle John. And this will be straightened out one way or the other. Well, in this verse 10, you're going to see evil in Diotrephes multiplied over and over. And then a conclusion in verse 11. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. We thank you for the privilege of being here this evening and fellowshipping with you through the study of your word. And we ask that God the Holy Spirit might challenge each one of us that these principles become a matter of aletheia, absolute truth in our hearts. For we pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.